We thank the Lord for this blessed opportunity of being here this morning. And we thank Mary Jo and the praise team and all the singers and the musicians. When I get to heaven, me and the Lord, we're going to have a talk. Because I have absolutely no musical talent whatsoever. Amen. And then I had a conversation with a pastor, with Rocky, and we were just talking about things in general, and then he just mentioned casually, well, I used to do a little singing a little while ago. And I thought to myself, Lord, I hate his guts. The man sings too. That's terrible. That's terrible. No, I'm joking. But it's just good to be in the house of the Lord. To everybody, happy Father's Day. Yeah, happy Father's Day. We thank God for our fathers. The one thing I think about most often with my dad, it just seems like the older I get, the strangest thing happens. The wiser my father seems to become in my sight. Amen? Has that ever happened to you as well? Yeah, the older you get, the more you realize how brilliant your parents were. Praise the Lord. All right. Yes. But I've got some good news and I got some bad news for you this morning. Let me give you the bad news first. Brother Al Brown could not be here this morning. The good news is he sent me in his place. Yeah, that's right. Allow me the pleasure of introducing myself. My name is David. And Al couldn't be here today. And he thought that since it was Father's Day, that it might be a good idea for me to come and preach to you this morning. Now, you all have Bibles, and I understand here at Mimosa Lane Baptist Church, you people believe the Bible is the Word of God. Well, in your Bibles, there is a small section of Scripture about my life and my reign as king over Israel. In fact, the second king. And what I want to do is I want to call your attention to a passage of Scripture in the book of Samuel that highlights one of my adventures. And from that passage of Scripture, I want to encourage you, under the auspices of the Holy Spirit, to fight for your families. Amen? Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 30. And Al also informed me, there's a lot of folks up in here in Mimosa that like the King James Bible. So, he told me that there were some other people who preferred contemporary translations. And he said, David, what I want you to do today, buddy, is I want you to lower yourself and use something other than the King James Bible. So I hope you'll bear with me. I'm joking. 1 Samuel chapter 30. And I'm reading from the Coleman Christian Standard Bible. It is a rather lengthy passage of Scripture, and since we don't read it every other week, I want to read it in its entirety. It starts in verse 1, and it says, David and his men arrived in Ziklag, and on the third day, the Amalekites had raided the Negev and attacked and burned down Ziklag. They also had kidnapped the women and everyone in it, from the youngest to the oldest. They had killed no one, but had carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men arrived at the town, they found it burned down. Their wives, sons, daughters had been kidnapped. David and the troops with him wept loudly until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives, Ahinoam, the Jezreelite, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had also been kidnapped. David was in a difficult position because the troops talked about stoning him, for they were all bitter over the loss of their sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it to him, and David asked the Lord, should I pursue these raiders? Will I overtake them? Then the Lord replied to him, pursue them, for you will certainly overtake them and rescue the people. Verse 9. David and the 600 men with him went as far as the Wadi Besor, where 200 men who were to remain behind would stop. They stopped because they were too exhausted to cross the Wadi Besor. David and 400 of the men continued in pursuit, and they found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink, and then they gave him some pressed figs and two clusters of raisins. And after he ate, he revived, for he hadn't eaten food or drunk water for 3 days or 3 nights. Then David said to him, "Who do you belong to? Where are you from?" "I am an Egyptian, the slave of an Amalekite man," he said. "My master abandoned me when I got sick 3 days ago. We raided the south country of the Cherethites, the territory of Judah, the south of the country of Caleb, and we burned down Ziklag." David then asked him, "Will you lead me to these raiders?" He said, "Swear to me by God that you won't kill me or turn me over to my master, and I will lead you to them." So he led him there, and there were the Amalekites spread out over the entire area, eating, drinking, and celebrating because of the great amount of plunder they had taken from the land of the Philistines and from the land of Judah. David slaughtered them from twilight until the evening of the next day. None of them escaped, except 400 young men who got on camels and fled. David recovered everything the Amalekites had taken. He also rescued his two wives. Nothing of theirs was missing, from the youngest to the oldest, including the sons and daughters of all the plunder the Amalekites had taken. David got everything back. He took all the sheep and the cattle which were driven ahead of the other livestock, and the people shouted, "This is David's plunder." Now when David came to the 200 men who had been too exhausted to go with him and had been left at the Wadi Besor, they came out to meet him and to meet the troops with him. When David approached the men, he greeted them, but all the worthless men among those who had gone with David retorted, "Because they didn't go with us, we will not give any of the plunder we recovered to them, except for each man's wife and children. They may take them and go." But David said, "My brothers, you must not do this with what the Lord has given us. He protected us and handed over to us the raiders who came against us. Who can agree to your proposal? The share of the one who goes into battle is to be the same as the share of the one who remains with the supplies. They will share them equally." And it has been so from the day forward. David established this policy as a law and an ordinance for Israel, and it continues to this very day. And when David came to Ziklag, he sent some of the plunder to his friends, the elders of Judah, saying, "Here is a gift for you, from the plunder of the Lord's enemies." He sent gifts to those in Bethel and Ramoth of the Negev and Jatir, and to those in Era and Sipmoth and Estomar, to those in Rakel, to the towns of the Jeremelites and the towns of the Kenites, and to those of Hormah and Bashan and Atok, and to those in Hebron, and to those in all the places where David and his men had roamed. Amen. I want to encourage you guys. Let's fight for the family. Now, I must admit that I was really reluctant about preaching this message this morning, because I don't do good on special occasions like Mother's Day and Father's Day. I believe that every day should be treated as the same in terms of God's Word. But when we look at the circumstances of our culture and the circumstances of our society, we have to be a bit concerned. Because anytime you talk about something, as long as you're talking about the wrong thing, it's okay. Whenever you stand up and speak truth, you immediately become the bad guy. You're always the one who's wearing the black hat. Especially when it comes to marriage and marital relationships. And this is Father's Day, and I want us to have a good time in the Lord. And I'm not here to beat up on nobody or anything like that, but I'm here to encourage you to fight for the family. Ladies, I know you're here today, and we are certainly appreciative and grateful for what you bring to the body of Christ. But I just want you to be patient with me this morning as I talk to your husbands and your sons and your brothers in the Lord about what it means to fight for the family. Man, it is so important that you and I fight for the family. Let me let you in on a secret. There's nothing wrong with you because you are a man. It is the nature of a man to be aggressive. It is the nature of a man to fight. That's the way we are hardwired. We like to box. We like to wrestle. We like to knock each other down on the football field. And I'm not ashamed to admit that I've had my share of fights coming up. But truly, I am a ghetto kid. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. That's right. And for those of you who are wondering, what's the difference between the ghetto culture and the cowboy culture? Let me tell you what the difference is. One is in the city and the other is outside the city. That's right. And I discovered real quick that I fit right in with these Texas people down here. That's right. Because quietly, y'all ain't no different from the way we are up north. Y'all don't believe in backing down from a fight? If the truth be told, some of y'all are looking for a good fight to get into. That's right. There's nothing wrong with that. But men, let me tell you, the greatest fight of your life is not out there in the boxing ring. It's not out there in the wrestling match. But it's right here in your own soul. Fight for the family. If you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this right here. Fight for the family. It is God's will for you and I to fight for our families. Let me tell you something about us men. Men respect each other because we're men. Nobody likes a coward. Nobody likes a punk. Can I say that in church? Is that okay? Nobody likes that. Any man, any fool, any idiot can go up the street and down the street and chase women. That doesn't take any energy. Any idiot can be a quote unquote player, as we say in the hip hop culture. That doesn't take any energy. But listen to me and hear me well. It takes a real man to stand up to the challenge that God has called you to in marriage. It takes a real man to knuckle up and say, that's not God's will for me to be doing that ungodly stuff. Yes, it's much more difficult for me to be a man and be faithful to my wife and be faithful to my children, because at any moment I can get angry, I can get frustrated and say, I've had enough of this. I'm just going to pack my stuff and walk away. Well, it's okay to have those kind of feelings because we all get frustrated from time to time. But when you do that, and don't get offended when I say this, that doesn't make you a man. That makes you a coward. Because you decided, I'm not going to deal with this anymore. And it fascinates me how, when I was a quote unquote senior pastor, the lead guy, I would counsel men who were having marital problems, and they would say, Reverend, you just don't understand. This woman is crazy that I'm married to. And my response was always the same. Is that right? Well, let me ask you a question. If she's crazy and you married her, you know where I'm going, don't you? What on earth does that say about you? It's God's will for you to fight for the family. And you gotta fight to stay in it. You gotta fight to keep it together. Don't be stupid enough to believe that just because you got married, okay, everything's gonna go fine. We're married, okay, we got through the rough. But no, the fun is just beginning, I promise you. And in every moment, at any moment, the devil is coming to you. And he's telling you those lies. You deserve better. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You don't deserve better than what you got. You deserve worse. 10,000 times over. It is the grace of God that you have the wife that you have. It is the grace of God that you have the children that you have. I don't care how bad they get, it's still God's grace that you got that one. That's right, it's okay to clap. I want to encourage you. Fight for the family. Now, in the passage that was read in your hearing, there are three principles that we get from this passage about why we ought to fight for the family. I just want to share them with you. I don't want to preach to you today. I just want to talk to you for a while. The first one is this. You and I should fight for the family because of the sadness in our own souls. Notice the passage of scripture. The Bible says that David was off fighting other battles. He was off fighting other wars, if you will. And while he had his back turned, the Bible says the Amalekites came out of nowhere and they burnt the town that he was living in to the ground. They took away all of his worldly possessions, his children and his wives, and they kidnapped his family. David got back to Ziklag and he looked at that situation and it hurt him to the core of his soul. And David was not a coward. He said, Lord, I got to do something about this. This is simply unacceptable. Man, I want to talk to you. Reach into the inner recesses of your soul. Think about what it would be like if your wife, if your children were gone, were no longer accessible to you. Feel that pain in your heart. Feel that anger in your soul. And that anger ought to make you want to fight to keep it together. Ain't no other woman down the street and around the corner, or no devil in hell, gonna be able to comfort your soul when the people that you love are gone. We need to fight for our families out of the sadness in our own souls. That's important. That's important. I may have shared, I got a friend of mine I'm counseling right now and trying to talk to about the Lord. 41 years old, never been married. All he's ever done was run up and down the street and chase women. That's all he's ever done. He called me a little while ago and told me that he wanted to commit suicide. I know why. Because of the emptiness in his own soul. Laying up in sin. Doing devilry. Can I call it that? Is that all right? I don't want to sound judgmental at all. But let's call a spade. Can we do that? You know, we have an expression that we use all the time. I hear it on TV. I'm just keeping it real. Can we keep it real? Come on and talk to me. It's okay. Can we keep it real? I want to encourage you. Fight for the family. When your spouse gets on your nerves, that's okay. Love her anyway. Take her out anyway. Do good to her anyway. I promise you. It'll pass. Oh, you think I'm joking, don't you? Well, listen, my wife ain't here this morning, so let me just tell you about it. Yeah. One time she got mad at me, one of the many times she got angry with me. Right? And then a few hours later, she comes into the room like nothing happened and everything else. So I said, baby, let's go get something to eat. She said, okay. So we riding along in the car. We on our way to the restaurant. I said, baby, what happened that made you decide that you just weren't angry with me anymore? And she said, Al, in case you didn't know, it is a woman's prerogative to change her mind. That's right. I said, oh, okay. Yeah. But you gotta fight for your family. I can't emphasize that enough. God has called us as men to imitate David. David didn't take it lying down. No. Yes, it's in a man's nature to fight. If some clown on the street walked up to you and told you he was just gonna take your wallet, and he didn't have a gun, a knife, or anything else, you just gonna lay down and give it to him? No, not one man in this room would do that. Not gonna happen. You just gonna take my stuff? You and who else? Man, look here, I'm gonna give you 10 to 15 minutes to go get you some help. Cause you sure enough gonna need it. I can talk to y'all like that cause we in Texas, amen? That's right, give God a hand praise for Texas. God has called us to fight for the family. I can't emphasize that enough. Why do we fight out of the sadness of our souls? Put yourselves in David's shoes. You come home from work and everything's just gone. What happened? Bunch of devils just decided they're going to take your stuff and tear up everything you got. We have to fight out of the sadness of our souls. And the Bible says that everybody who was with David, they just cried until they couldn't cry anymore. Fathers, let me share something with you. There's no harm in shedding a tear. There's no harm in shedding a tear. See, a real man is able to say, you know what? When I'm hurt, I'm hurt. And I'm not ashamed of the fact that I'm hurt. The Bible says when Jesus got to the tomb of Lazarus and he realized that his friend was dead, you know what the Bible says? The Bible says Jesus wept. He cried. He mourned the loss of his friend, even though he knew he was going to raise him from the dead. Brethren, it's okay to cry over your families. That's right. There's a second reason why you and I need to fight for our families. Because we have the promise of success. We have the promise of success. Notice here in verse 6, the Bible says David was in a difficult position because the troops talked about stoning him, for they were all bitter over the loss of their sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord his God. I like the King James version there. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And then in verse 7, the Bible says, David said to Abiathar the priest, son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it to him. And David asked the Lord, should I pursue these raiders? Will I overtake them? And the Bible says, the Lord replied to him, pursue them, for you will certainly overtake and rescue them. My brothers and my sisters, the reason why we ought to fight for our families is because we have the promise of success in God's word. Yeah, he's going to be with you when you fight for your family. He's going to be with you when you get up in the morning, you go to work to provide for your family. He's going to be with you in those difficult times. No, everything is not going to go your way. Everything's not going to work out the way you want it to work out, but he is going to be with you. That is a wonderful promise. Fight for the family because he's going to be with you. Let me tell you about David. Let me tell you about David. Can I tell you about this passage? The Bible says that they got together and they decided, okay, we're going to chase after these guys. David decided, you know what? I'm a fighter and I'm a warrior. In the Hebrew, I'm a Gibberim. And I'm going to go after these guys and I'm going to smash them. So you know what happens? David, he gets his army together and they go after the guys who stole their family members. And the Bible says they run up on them. And the Bible says that David and his men are crouching down behind the bush. And they look up. And one guy says, yep, that's my flat screen TV over there. And the other guy, he looks up. He goes, yep. There's my desktop computer over there. Oh, but let me tell you about David. David peers through the bush. And you know what he sees? He doesn't see his laptop computer. He doesn't see his flat screen TV. You know what he sees? He sees a bunch of people dancing and partying and having a good time. Right? Oh, I'm old school. That's right. Oh, I'm old school. I don't have no problem admitting it. Too bad the young people ain't here. I would challenge them to a little. Now I'm joking. But David sees these people having a good time. And you know what? He realizes, wait a minute. Is this clown dancing with my wife? Oh, no. Is he walking around in my new suit? Oh, no. We gotta go get him. That's right. We need to fight for our families because we have the promise of success in God's word. Can I make you uncomfortable? Thank you. Leave that pornography alone. Leave it alone. It's the devil's tool. I was riding down 75 in Ohio a few years ago. Saw a big old sign on the left side. It says something like adult movies or something or other, whatever it says. And then right next to it, they had this huge sign. And you know what it said? It said, real men don't use porn. That is so truth. And it takes a real man to understand that statement. What do you mean real men don't use porn? It's natural. I have a desire to do this. I have a desire to express myself sexually. Yeah, you do. But a real man knows how to express himself sexually in the context of marriage. So you gotta fight the temptation to look at that stuff. And when you decide, I'm just going to look at that stuff, I'm just going to let it all hang out, you know what you did? You just laid down. And you decide, I'm going to let the devil just walk all over me. I ask you, my brother, what kind of man are you? It's one thing for you to get whooped in a fight. But it's another thing for you to just lay down and let the guy whoop you. God has called us to fight for the family. Well, I know what you're thinking. Well, Al, you know what? Just last week I messed up. You know what? My brother, that was last week. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow's not promised. What are you going to do with today? Fight for the family. And finally, I'm going to say this and I'm going to sit down. Not only must we fight for the family, out of the sorrow in our own souls. Not only must we a fight for the family because we have the success promised to us in God's word, but we need to fight for the family because by doing so, it is an act whereby we share in God's grace. Let me let you in on a secret. The older I get, the more conservative I become. Right? And ladies, I have the utmost respect for you. I do. I have the utmost respect for you. But let me let you in on a secret. I just believe it's a man's job to not just take care of his children, but to take care of that woman who had his children as well. Am I making sense? I believe that God has called us to not only provide for the children, but to provide for our women. To protect our women. I know that sounds old school, but it is what it is. See that? David, when he got back from fighting with these Amalekites, The Bible says that some of the men, they were too exhausted to fight. So they stayed behind. And David took the leftovers and he went and he won the battle, came back to the camp. And some of the guys were saying, well, they didn't fight in the big battle. They didn't fight in the big war, so we get to keep their stuff. David says, no, we're not going to do that. We're going to give every man his stuff back, especially his wife and his children. By virtue of the fact that we fight for the family, what we're doing is we're sharing in God's grace. See, when I fight to keep my family together, my wife together, and my children together, what I'm saying to God is, God, because you've been so good to me, I want to share your grace with this woman that you gave me to be my wife. I want to share your grace with these children that you gave me to raise. It is an act of sharing in God's grace. My brothers and my sisters, you and I simply must fight for the family. Men, I want to encourage you. Put yourself in David's shoes. And take the attitude that David took. Take on the mentality that David had. And fight for the family. There's a war going on in all of our souls. And it's a war of the flesh against the Holy Spirit. And every day, a million times a day, you got to decide which side of the battle you're going to be on. Fight for the family. I'm going to share this with you and I'm going to sit down. My wife and I, we were, as she likes to call it, having an exchange of information. Amen. Young people, that's an argument. All right, that's an argument, okay? But my wife calls it an exchange of information, you know? And my wife got all upset with me. And I had just got off the shower. I put my shirt on, and so we were arguing. And then she got real upset with me, and I took my shirt off, and I flexed my muscles. I said, girl, give it to me. Whatever you got, I can take it. Yeah, what you want? Huh? Show me what you got. See that? Yeah, that's right. I know what you're thinking. Al, you crazy. Yes, I am. That's right. That's right. Man, it's our job. It's our job to take whatever the women give us. That's our job. It's our job to take whatever the women give us. You don't get mad and smack your wife. That's unacceptable. You got to be a real man and resist the temptation. You don't get mad and curse your wife out. That's unacceptable. Real men don't do that. Real men, you know what we do? We flex. Gah! I know that sounds comical, but that's what God expects us to do. Whatever you got, I can take it. Because baby doll, I'm your man. Can I say it that way? Is that all right? That's right. Let me just share this one thing with you women. Women, do not put your hands on a man. I know sometimes you get upset and you feel like you want to slap your boyfriend, right? My wife tells me all the time, Al, you are so clueless. Baby, I know. I just don't understand. You have to draw me a picture. Amen. But ladies, let me tell you something about us men. What we are is lions and tigers. That's what we are. We are tigers. Ladies, whenever you are dealing with a man, remember, you are dealing with a tiger. That's right. And you don't want to put your hand on a tiger. That's not wise. You don't believe me? Go down to the zoo. jump over the fence, whatever it is they got over there. Smack that tiger upside the head and see what he does. That's right. We are tigers. Don't put your hands on a man. Don't provoke him. That's right. Men, fight for the family. And as I take my seat, I want to close with this thought. The strongest man I ever met in my life was Jesus himself. Think about the battle that he had to fight. 2,000 years ago, Jesus left the celestial plains of glory and walked the dusty plains of Palestine. They took Jesus, who did no wrong, and put him up on a cross. Can you imagine the strength and the courage and the power it took for Jesus to discipline himself, not to just wipe out those Roman soldiers, not to just send the lightning to those Jews who crucified him? Think about it. It took a lot of energy. It took a lot of strength for him to stay up there. Oh, but the good news is, he died. And 3 days later, he was raised from the dead with all power in his hand, authority in his hand. And he took that power and he gave it to you and I when we got filled with the Holy Spirit. And you know what he wants us to do with that power as men? He wants us to take that power and he wants us to fight for the family. That's what he wants us to do. I want to encourage you today. Thank you all so much for your time. And we are going to have a word of prayer. And I'm going to look for Miss Mary Jo to come up here and save me, because I have no musical talent whatsoever. Praise the Lord. There she is. Let's give God a hand praise for her. And as these wonderful people are coming forward, I just want to encourage you guys. If you're in a fight right now for your family, if you're going through some sort of spiritual dilemma, it's okay. Just get before the Lord and say, Lord, I know you've already given me the strength that I need to perform the task that you've set for me. I don't do everything right, but I want you to strengthen me for the next battle. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had together. We ask, oh God, that you would just be pleased with our lives. Thank you, Lord God, for these marvelous men and marvelous women, these young people who are here today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.